This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I'm ready to fucking rumble.
Let's cook.
Let's cook up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Let's go.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1. And welcome, everybody, back to the Built Different Show. This is episode number 123. Yes, we have made it to 123 episodes of just talking about sports. And that's exactly what we're here to do today. I'm with Kem. I'm your host, Thomas Saxby. What's up, Kem? How you been? What's on top of your mind?
Let's get right into it, man. No problem, man. So listen, man, some spooky, spy, sneaky shit has been going on, right? So it's kind of crazy. Okay. I want to start off with something. I got kind of two things I want to get off my chest first. Let's go with the Shedeur Sanders first, right? So the Shedeur Sanders thing has been coming out lately. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention to it, but of course, I know you have been, right? $250 million in sales, right? Where he get $14 million of that, right? His contract for the first 4 years is only $4.6 million, 1.2 a year or some shit like that, right? 1.1 and some change, right? But he's actually eclipsed what he's going to make. But they also said that how he got that $14 million commission off of those jerseys has something to do with why he was selected so low in the draft. You understand what I'm saying? Because he has something in his contract, bro. Real talk. I forget what it's called. I think it's something like the prime equity. And they said that everything that any team that he had, that he's a part of, that would have drafted him, he gets some sort of compensation, a part of his name, image, and likeness because he was like Nike's first, you know, NIL,
dude.
So it's kind of crazy with all this stuff coming out. I'm kind of intrigued, you know what I mean, to kind of find out to see if this has, we'll never know if this has something to do with why he was drafted, you know what I mean, so late. But it does, you know what I mean, give us an idea as to why, you know what I mean? Like, he's basically, you know what I mean, the richest first rounder. I mean, you know, fifth rounder ever. You understand what I'm saying?
I mean,
making more than
the
first.
He's marketable, man.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of crazy. Then the other thing I wanted to get into was like, listen, man, I got something that I want to say, man. We all know that the two in 2025, Texas lost two of the biggest stars that it has ever had, right? And Micah Parsons and Luka Doncic, right?
Yeah,
both
man.
Of these guys at 26 years old, you know what I mean, are out of there. But listen, I actually wanted to give a shout out to Texas sports to start off my take, right? Check it out, right? You had Dream Olajuwon and the Rockets go back to back, you know what I mean, in the 90s. Then you had the Astros come through, love them or hate them, right? For my baseball guy over there, Bill, one of baseball's modern dynasties, right? Then fast forward to 2011, another thing you like, right, was Dirk and the Mavs with no other all-stars on his team knocked off Chris Bosh, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and the Heatles, right? Then you got Luka Doncic passing the flag to Cooper Flag. You understand what I'm saying?
Literally,
right? AD, Kyrie, you know what I mean? Klay and those guys out there, right? And then you cannot forget about what I just kind of started off with. It's like Dallas. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a bunch of stars out there, right? Then you got the Rangers getting their ring, the Spurs dynasty. The truth is, I love that Texas happens to be one of those states, man, that is a championship-driven, you know what I mean, kind of state. And it was something, you know what I mean, that because I'm, you know, you see what's on my hat, we kind of the media
capital,
and kind of sports kind of funnel through here. We kind of don't take a look at other places. But, man, Texas, man, goddamn, especially when you're thinking about, like, Friday Night Lights in high school and stuff like that. They got, like, what's called, like, Friday Night Lights, which is, like, you know what I mean, as big as NFL in college. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, shout out to those guys out there, man. I just wanted to do that.
I mean, dude, like, Texas sports, I mean, people got it made out there, man. I mean, like you think you go into this year, you got the Houston Rockets, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Dallas Mavericks, all with the opportunity to have, you know, huge years. And then you go over to baseball. The Rangers won the World Series championship 2 years ago. The Astros, they're just coming out of a dynasty, but they could still win it this year. They're still, you know, really freaking good.
Yeah.
And then in football, it's kind of been bouncing back and forth between who's the better team between the Cowboys and the Texans. I know it hasn't produced, you know, a championship for Texas in, you know, since before I was born. But at the end of the day, you know, Texas, they are, you know, they're in prime position to just have enjoyable
all the time,
sports,
all the time, bro.
Yeah,
all the time. You
and
know what I mean?
That is what it is, man. So, you know, I'll bring back up the Sanders brothers stuff, but I wanted to, you guys know me, I watch NASCAR. I bring up NASCAR every once in a blue moon, to, you know, the podcast, and I kind of, it's sports related, but it also involves the basketball GOAT, Michael Jordan. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the headlines or anything, but basically Michael Jordan and a bunch of other people have sued NASCAR. So for those of you guys that don't know, Michael Jordan co-owns a NASCAR racing team with Denny Hamlin, who is a current NASCAR driver. Yes, he's a driver, and then he owns a completely separate team. So that team right there and a group called Front Row Motorsports, they have sued NASCAR, just basically saying, like, you know, their current system of how they do things is unfair. It needs to change, that whole kind of thing. So what NASCAR does, and it's kind of disgusting, like, they kind of like ruin the entire sport off of greed. Cause what they do right now is a charter system. So, certain teams can buy in, to this charter system and basically have their spot saved so that they have cars all year long. And then there's a certain, deliberation of funds. You know, it basically, this system never supports, you know, lower, teams, like teams that don't have the best drivers or best equipment, you know, stuff like that. It always is going to keep them down. Now, Michael Jordan and his team, they're not necessarily one of those lower teams, because obviously Michael Jordan is rich. The people that are working together on that collaboration is rich. But what he's actually doing is really good, because he's stepping in for the betterment of the sport. He's he's putting his neck and his whole team on the line, because NASCAR, how they retaliated to the lawsuit was they basically said, okay, you guys lost your charter spot. Like, we're not going to let you charter. Then they, I think they did like some civil lawsuit to make sure that this year they were good, because they had to have a resolution, you know, in the off season, type shit. Cause basically what can happen is, if you don't have a charter and you just have one bad day qualifying, your driver's not going to make the race, which kind of ruins the whole season, cause you need points and you need all this other shit. So I find it interesting, man. Michael Jordan is active in NASCAR. We know he's going to be an analyst, you know, this year, I believe, coming up for NBC. So he's becoming more relevant again by the day. But it's just nice to see that he's kind of just over there in NASCAR trying to make the sport better. I know no one really watches NASCAR, but NASCAR used to be a fucking beautiful thing to, you know, enjoy, and the lore of it and, you know, everything. So I just, you know, I wanted to talk about that for a little
bit. Okay. And it's dope, man, that Mike, you know, shooting his shot like he always do, man. He's shooting his shot like he always do. He came off of just winning a big fishing tour too. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And then just coming right in to sue with some guys. It's kind of crazy, man. He just won like a million dollars, one of those dudes that just did
whatever he wanted to fucking do in his life. I fuck with MJ, man. But you know, I got my Stanley. I'm a little under the weather, so if you guys notice my voice a little different, or if I sneeze or I do some shit, don't judge. This is the flu game. No, not even close. But yeah, I mean, if you guys like this conversation so far, make sure you like and subscribe, leave some feedback in the comments. We're trying to bring good media back, because I know you guys see all the, you know, crazy media out there and everyone's saying all this crazy stuff. Skip Bayless lost his mind. Stephen A. isn't good TV anymore, all that stuff. But, you know, make sure you subscribe to us. Also, follow us on our TikTok. We're putting out a lot of, you know, really good shorts out there. We're getting a lot of interactions with everybody on there. Also, you know, X, formerly known as Twitter. We're building a really good fan base over there as well. And then Instagram, you know, just come through. That's the point of all this.
Come on through.
Come through. We have a lot of things on the way. We cover basketball. We cover baseball. We cover football. You know, the playoffs in baseball are coming up. NBA is coming back. NFL is just 1 week away. The next episode that we probably have after this one is probably going to release when the season's already underway. So, you know, with that all being said, follow. Like I said, we have a lot. Wrestling, video games, the world, just getting high and getting fucking
join the conversation.
Hell yeah. And we have a lot. I mean, me and Kem, we're always discussing, you know, different and new ideas. So we definitely have a lot on the way. So let's dig it. Let's go and dig into some headlines. I wanted real quick, it wasn't part of the script, but I did want to bring up that, you know, Sanders stuff. I want your opinion real quick. You know, the Browns actually, you know, they released Huntley. They released, well, they didn't release, but they traded Kenny Pickett. So now they are running with Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel at two, and Shedeur Sanders at three. Also, we know if they take him back, Deshaun Watson will most likely be back at some point this season. So I imagine the Gabriel Sanders stuff doesn't end here. What's your opinion on how that all unfolded?
How it all unfolded? What do you mean as far as the depth chart and how they have?
Yeah, depth chart, how the preseason went.
I think that in all truth, in the eye test, you have to say that Dylan Gabriel was a little bit more accurate in his performances over Shador's performance. Shador was sacked five times in that last performance, but we also have to remember that he was playing with guys, you know what I mean? That
like four of those dudes that were already cut.
You know what I mean? He was playing with people. So it was almost like a setup, you know what I mean? When you look at it that way. I don't want to get too much into conspiracy theories as you know what I mean? Because I kind of, you know what I mean? I kind of started off, you know what I mean, with a little bit of that. But at the end of the day, and I don't want to go too deep into it, but I do think that the tape shows and they have a case, you know what I mean, as to why, you know what I mean, he is third on the depth chart right now. So I you know.
And I mean, I'm just kind of glad he made the team. I was hoping that he got cut and got an opportunity elsewhere, because I don't like the Browns, man. But it'll be interesting. I mean, like Joe Flacco, I like it. You know, start.
They're one hit away. You know what I mean? They're one hit away. The one thing about it that is still shaky about them is, like you said earlier, about Deshaun Watson and potentially coming back, but no timetable on this year of him coming back. The other part about that is that both of them are inexperienced. You understand what I'm saying? So Joe Flacco in his age, you know what I mean? They're thrust into, you know what I mean, the role, you know what I mean? And they got to take the bull by the horn. So either way, and then, you know, just height-wise, Dylan Gabriel, as somebody we'll probably talk about a little bit later, he's pretty short. You know what I mean? He has the potential to be accurate. We've seen it, you know what I mean, from the lefty position. He looks good, you know what I mean? I have no problem with that. But I also believe that given the same set of tools, we also seen what Shedeur did, and I think that he also gives them the same chance to win.
I mean, experience. You know, I like I said, I like it. I want to go over to Shiloh Sanders. What's your reaction to all that?
He got waved.
After punching a dude in the
face. Yeah, man. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of that stuff, man. What can I say, man? Locker rooms are crazy. You know what I'm saying? Football, I played a short time. I also know that, you know, locker rooms can get crazy. You know what I mean? It's a vibe. You know
what I mean? You're talking about 50-some guys, just adrenaline
It's a vibe, man. You understand what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, man, that part is natural. I don't think that the punching the dude had anything to do with him being waived. You know what I mean? He was waived for, you know what I mean, the lack of productivity, you know, or skill. Yeah.
And I mean, at the end of the day, I just – because a lot of people are going to be messing with Shedeur when he gets on the field. A lot of people would be messing with Shiloh if he ever gets on the field. So – I don't think you can react by punching someone in the face, because people are going to be coming at them all year long. If Shiloh gets back on the field and if Shadur gets a chance to start.
But most of that never comes out in football. In football, that kind of stuff never comes out. That's basketball shit. You know what I mean? Because the teams are smaller that kind of thing comes out. Football, that don't come out because it's a violent thing anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's violent. So, like, a punch in the face is usually when they punch one of their women, or, you know what I mean? Something like that. You know what I mean? That's what those guys do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it never comes out about teammates fighting in football. You know what I mean?
So Micah Parsons was traded from the Dallas Cowboys to the Green Bay Packers as of us recording. Mm-hmm. This happened yesterday, so it's, you know, still pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Crazy for, you know, a season that's starting in less than a week.
Yeah.
That a big trade like this goes down. Mm-hmm. Way to, you know, shake things up. Jerry Jones, I think he kind of, I think you called it, man. He was kind of like, you know, getting people kind of ready for the trade, just kind of saying, you know, we're always going to be dramatic. We're always going to do, you know, what we can to stay that way. And that's exactly it. What was your initial reaction, thoughts on that whole thing?
I mean, it was that, but it was also dumb as hell. You know what I mean? Just because that's, you know what I mean, what they do as far as storylines. What they did was help the Green Bay Packers, the same team that whooped their ass, you know what I mean, the end of last year. So it makes no sense. You know what I mean? It's kind of crazy. What they did was give away Michael Parkinson's, another. He's 26 years old. They got back at the
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Defensive tackle that's 30 years old and two late first round picks. All they did was make the team that whooped they ass better and younger with a bigger window to get better by their age. You understand what I'm saying? So with the addition of Matthew Golden, everybody know, and everybody that tapped in know, I already had something to say about Jordan Love and Green Bay. You know what I mean? Like, this makes them even, you know what I mean, even stronger. You know what I mean? And it's kind of crazy. It's still going to be a minute before Micah Parsons is at full Micah Parsons. You know what I mean? But,
He's got to learn the scheme.
Yeah, he got to learn the scheme. He hasn't been practicing even with Dallas, you know what I mean, to get this going. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, you know what I mean, he got to get game ready. So I think by game three or four, you know what I mean, you'll see prime Micah, but their defense is already good. You know what I mean? Him and the other, I think the guy's named Gray, who was on the other side, who will be, you know what I mean, running it. Man, it's going to be crazy. You know what I mean? So,
they showed a lot of shades last year.
Yes, bro.
You know, when they have it put together.
They never got blown out. They don't get blown out. Jordan Love being hurt those games last year, kind of, you know what I mean? I mean,
they didn't really get smacked until they ran into Philly.
Yeah, they lost to Detroit twice. Yeah. They lost, you know what I mean, like Minnesota. They lost to who they were like in the division because of, like, you know what I mean, certain things. But I still believe in Jordan Love and the ascension of them. And Matt LaFleur, I love, you know what I mean? Like, I think that they got something going. Cowboys.
Oh, listen, man. What can I say? Listen, you know me. You know, you know I'm an Eagles fan. This is, I'm almost starting to feel bad for the Cowboys fans. You guys sucked for so long. I mean, lately you guys have kind of, you know, been a little bit more humble because you haven't won in so long. But I mean, we're at the point where, you know, the Eagles have basically lapped the Cowboys about three times. The Giants have even gotten a couple rings. The Commanders are looking more healthy of a franchise than the Cowboys for, you know, once. Only Cowboys fans 35 and older truly remember what it was like watching their team win the Super Bowl. Any fan 28 or younger hasn't even been alive for a Cowboys Super Bowl appearance.
Not even close.
It's just misery. It's just misery at this point. You know, America's team, whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, it kind of, it really sucks, man. Because it's not like you traded Micah Parsons, you know, off to the AFC.
He was their best player.
To, you know, maybe like a, you know, a team that's not really, you know, in the mix like that. But you traded him to the Green Bay Packers, a team that's not only kicked your ass several times throughout these, you know, past few years, but that's a team that's competing with you right now. Like, that's another, because the Cowboys were supposed to enter this year with a good roster. I don't know where the shakeup leaves the locker room and all that. I still think they can compete a little bit, at least. But you traded him to the Green Bay Packers, and, you know, Cowboys fans, I'm pretty sure, hate Packers fans. I mean, the Packers have been a pain in their ass. Mm-hmm. And it's just so similar to that Luka trade. Like, you trade him from the Mavericks to the Los Angeles Lakers.
It makes no sense.
You know, it's absolutely crazy. But do you have any other comments on that? Because I kind of agree with you. Like, my whole take was going to be, I don't think he's going to be game ready for a little bit.
I still think they're going to, you know, once they get whipped into shape. Well, I think that, again, it hurts Dallas Cowboy fans again. I think that, they got a brand new coach. You know what I mean? And I think that the team was probably
setting him up for failure.
Yeah, because this is the theatrics that the Dallas Cowboys normally have. I think that the locker room was probably anticipating him coming back, being honest with you. You know what I mean? Now, without him being there.
Well, I mean, I think everybody did. I mean, because you see the way the, you know, the McLaurin shit went down.
All of
like,
it. Yeah.
It's kind of like how it happens almost every, I mean, you have your cases here and there.
And Dak and CD.
Like Le'Veon Bell, who like didn't get, you know, the Steelers didn't, you know, fold for that. But usually this is how it goes. Like, players will, you know, threaten to not play or not play. And then, you know, the team pays them like a week into the preseason or some shit like
Or a week into the season. Like, you know what I mean? A game is played or missed, you know what I mean? And you know what I mean? It's all over. You know what I mean? Chris Jones did it last year. He did it just a minute ago with the Chiefs.
Exactly.
Kansas, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Was in the stands watching the games and everything with him. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? He was in the stands watching the games. Like, all you got to do is get the money, right? And I'm suiting up. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean? He was ready to go. So.
And I think, and it's important, man. Like, it's important more than ever for, you know, these football players. When that guaranteed money comes into play, like, Micah Parsons got fucking
136 million.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
Like, guaranteed. Like, that's it. He's won.
Yes.
It's over, bro. Like, now all he has left to do is win a Super Bowl. But at this point in his life, he's set. Like, his family is set. Like, that's it. But it's also very important for football players, because the way they get hit, the way that accidents happen, you know, the way shit goes down, it's always best to go get your
and his
money.
Production.
So I always understand.
And then the truth is his production over the first 4 years of his career is unlike any. You understand what I'm saying? He was supposed to be paid anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he wanted to play in Dallas. The fact that, you know what I mean, this was trying to be an underhanded deal with an 80-year-old dude. Underhanded deal with an 80-year-old dude and a 25-year-old dude who don't understand business the same way, even if he does understand business. And once he realized that he was in a compromised position, he told the old head, listen, man, just call my representation, call my agent, you know what I mean? And he felt offended. And it's kind of crazy, you know what I mean, that those kind of things will work its way into the rooms of big business. You understand what I'm saying? Where, you know what I mean? Like, this is for damn work, man. He's the goddamn independent contractor. How you going, you know what I'm saying? Like, how you going to do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's crazy to shade him like that. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day,
that's
power.
Incredible, dude.
Yeah, really, man. Like, that shit is wild old school. We don't live in those times no more. You know what I mean? You can't do nobody.
I hear you.
You can't do nobody like that, especially like, you know what I mean? You know that he want to take care of his family. You know what I mean? Like, come on, why would you? You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of crazy. And then start saying shit before this happened was like, well, we have his rights. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to play. You know what I mean? Like, just
like, okay, I mean, we'll see.
and it didn't work out. Yes, man, that boy got power too, man. It's a different time. And
hell yeah, we'll see how it all unfolds, because like, they're the first team to play this year. The Cowboys are, Cowboys Eagles. It's gonna be interesting for sure.
But I got something.
But Kyle Schwarber of the Philadelphia Phillies hit 4 home runs, becoming the third player to do that this season. And then also he is now on the list for, you know, the most 3+ home run games in history. He's up there on that list now. Just an absolute insane show of power. Kyle Schwarber has been having an insane year all year. Did you see any of that shit?
Yes, absolutely. I want to ask you a question though. Do you think it's something we're going to see more of?
I mean, I was thinking about this yesterday too, because you know some people were pointing out that you know there was three of them this year. We haven't had a four
There's
home run
21
game in a while
in Major League history. There's 21 four homer games.
Yeah, so I mean, I think what it comes down to is like, I think the, and this could be a way longer conversation, so I'm trying to piece it in my head to give you a, as short of an answer as possible. I just think pitchers suck.
Okay.
I think that's really what it is. I mean, you know, back in the day, you know, if a player even had like two home runs or, you know, if he was, you know, on a hot streak and you ain't trying to lose the game, you'd walk him for the rest of the game. I think now it's just like, you know, the all the rules and sophistications on pitching, and then you, you know, you bring in guys, you know, out of the bullpen. I think bullpens look worse than they ever have. And then you even got like hitters pitching when the games get, you know, too crazy. I think we can see it. I mean, it's just as simple as that.
Okay.
Cause like I said, you have your top heavy pitchers, but I don't think the quality of pitching is that good anymore. And then when, you know, Kyle Schwarber runs into a team like the Atlanta Braves, who basically fucking thrown in the towel for the year, they don't care to walk him the whole game. You know, here's history. He almost hit five. Like he had an at bat in the bottom of the eighth where it was a hitter pitching against him and he popped it up to center field. That we almost saw history right there. But what I really wanted to talk about with this is, I might make a crazy take, man. I think Kyle Schwarber should get the MVP over Shohei Ohtani this year.
Okay.
That might be a crazy take. I know Shohei's having a good year at bat, but listen, if the argument is, and I support this argument thoroughly, if his pitching is, if because he can hit and because he can pitch so well, if that helps him get the MVP like it did in the past, I think the way he's pitching this year, which has been terrible, I think it should go against him, bro. He's giving up runs.
He's only got one win this year.
Yeah, and he's I mean,
one win.
He did okay when he was pitching one inning at a time. But I think it should go against him winning. I mean, Kyle Schwarber has basically carried this Philadelphia, you know, Phillies team, and he's going to have to do more of that carrying as
Bryce was
through.
Hurt through the first whole.
Yeah, exactly. And then now they've lost Zach Wheeler. Aaron Nola doesn't look good anymore. You know, it's basically just been Christopher Sanchez and Robert Suarez, or Ranger Suarez, my apologies. But, you know, Kyle Schwarber's carried this team. And if the Phillies are going to make a run at the playoffs now, especially with Zach Wheeler out, I think, you know, Kyle Schwarber is, he's the guy, he's the MVP, he's the most valuable player. I think when you sit here and you could say it comes down to him performing or not, I think that's very, very worthy of MVP.
Okay. I have no argument against that.
All right, fair enough. So real quick before we, you know, jump into the main segments that we got, Russell Westbrook is still unsigned.
Yeah, man, since June 30th and tested the free agent market and turning down that $3.47 million. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy, man. Brody, so listen, man, that's funny. As we were moving through, I was wondering what was your take going to be on this specific thing. You know what I mean? Because it's apparent how much love I have for Brody, but I got to be honest and say in today's world, you know what I mean? He's almost like a screwdriver. You know what I mean? When we got everything mechanical now, like you got the ones that are smaller than that, that you can put so many different heads on it and everything. His efficiency being so low, you know what I mean? With the turnovers, you know what I mean? I think that he would still play a great backup role in, you know what I mean, minutes, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to get any more than that anywhere.
Yeah, it's tough though. I mean, like even at that, like you gotta pay the man, you know, some money to get him in that role. And obviously Westbrook isn't going to accept a role just sitting on the bench clapping for a team. So it's difficult because, and you know, this is what I was saying back when he, you know, was on his triple, you know, double run and all that. Once he loses his talent, or, you know, like the talent starts to, you know, fade a little bit, he has nothing to fall back on. He doesn't have a shot. He doesn't, I mean, like his defense has gotten a little bit better, but it's not defense that you would throw him in over everybody for. So like what he has to fall back on is his hustle. And honestly, with the way the NBA is going, there's kind of no room for players like Westbrook anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you can get a guy that'll come in and run up and down the floor mm-hmm. and, you know, not do
but
as
be a
much.
Knockdown
you know,
shooter.
You have people.
Be a knockdown shooter.
Yeah, or just simply that and mm-hmm. all that. So, I mean, I hope he lands with a team.
Me too.
I don't want to see Russell Westbrook's career end.
No, not
unwillingly.
Like this. Yeah, not like that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I hope he signs like a one-year deal and is like, okay, I'll retire after this mm-hmm. year. But I definitely don't. Because, like, I don't want to see his career end like this, but then James Harden gets this, like, fucking walk off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get it. James Harden still has his big offensive games, and mm-hmm. he still is a high IQ player. I mm-hmm. get that. But, you know, I disrespect the shit out of James Harden.
I agree. No, this take is not a bad take. You know what I mean? Like, one is not better than the other to me. You know what I mean? I'm being like right now in this stage of their careers.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Because I don't know. They got the function going on.
You know what I mean? Like one is at this point of their careers, one is not better than the other to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Brody, but I also know that his assist to turnover ratio, you know what I mean, is just too high.
Yeah, for someone that just can't shoot.
Yeah,
he's
like
not passing the same.
And
anymore.
That's what I was about to say.
The ball like
without
anymore,
the other things like that you do get from James Harden, which is going to probably still be about, you know, 15 to 20 points efficient buckets. You understand what I'm saying? Highly efficient buckets. It's not going to be, you know what I mean? And with other players around him, his assists are going to be, you know what I mean, high too.
Of course.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's kind of crazy. Whereas though.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. We'll see what happens. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm honestly just glad we don't have no what ifs with Russell Westbrook. I'm glad he had his, you know, his full career. We got to see his prime.
Yes.
We got to see it, you know, drawn out.
Yes.
It's because the way he played, it was almost assumed that he would, you know, get injured at some point,
yes.
get some major injury,
mm-hmm.
and it just never came. He kept up with his body. He stayed healthy. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it ends, man. I'm hoping for, you know, he gets on the Kings and just fucking soars. But I have a feeling it'll be a lot like Melo on the Rockets. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
It'll last a few games, 30, 40 games.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they'll just be like, what are we doing? Yeah. What are we doing, man? But all right. So who is your most overrated Hall of Famer in sports history?
Man. So listen, man, this took some deep.
You stumped me with this one, bro.
Yeah,
you
man.
Most of my research, I'm sitting here like, God
damn,
yeah,
okay.
man. Like, uh-huh. I could go with old heads in baseball, but uh-huh. I don't feel like that's like I didn't really want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And then basketball, it's pretty. I like the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's pretty tight. And the Football mm-hmm. Hall of Fame, like I would never like discredit a Football Hall of Famer. I mean, uh-huh. I'm not saying that we're discrediting them because they're mm-hmm. a Hall of Famer no matter
yes.
what we say.
Right.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself. Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
But this is the most overrated Hall of
Fame.
There
has to be one. There has to be one, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Check it out, man. And this is not blasphemous. You know what I mean? You know that I'm highly analytical in how I look at things, but I also believe in the heart and the eye test more than... That's why it's hard for me with Russell Westbrook walking off into the sunset, because at the height of his career, you know what I mean, seeing him play, being a triple-double machine and everything like that, even the 2020 game for Nipsey Hussle was crazy. It wasn't like he, you know what I mean, like that. Like, the truth is that some of those things that we saw in the height of his career, you know what I mean, it's sad to see walking off. But who I have, you know what I mean, as my most overrated Hall of Famer of all time, again, as I got on this hat, and who you know I'm a fan of, man, but I gotta say this, man. Broadway Joe Namath is going to be my most overrated.
This is a guy I consider, but
Hall
he has like
famer.
A
famer. No, listen, he has more interceptions than he has touchdowns. He has 220 interceptions to 173 touchdowns. He did deliver us the Super Bowl with the conversion and coming from over, you know what I mean, and coming over and everything like that. But I'm telling you that it was only due to like his charisma and that smile. You understand what I'm saying? That he's still working in like denture commercials and shit like that. You understand what I'm saying? Real. Yeah, like real talk. You know what I mean? You know that how he made it into there. But his stats was actually shaky. And me being a lifer as a Jet fan, I got quarterbacks over him who aren't in the Hall of Fame that didn't win Super Bowls in my tenure as a fan. So that's who I have. And then I'll let you know in a later episode who those quarterbacks are.
Yeah, he was up there on the list for me. Yeah, but like, I'm happy. You know, I somewhat get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, man.
You know, it is what it is. I was thinking, man, I wanted to piss off people by saying Tracy McGrady, but I felt like that would be a little too much. Mm-hmm. I feel like I would have given you a stroke right here on this podcast.
Probably.
You know, so I'm going to go, and I did a lot of research because this was tough, man. Because like I said, when you take away all of the old heads for baseball, because I didn't want to bore anybody with the take, mm-hmm. That doesn't leave a lot of, you know, overrated Hall of Famers. Football, I kind of respect. Yeah, you know, I respect like every football player that's ever played. So I didn't really want to choose a football player. No, I was thinking of Joe Namath just to, you know, because like I said, more interceptions than fucking touchdowns is nuts. And then we got to basketball, and I was like, you know, I might have a couple options here. Like I said, Tracy McGrady was one. I was hoping Eli Manning got into the Hall of Fame so that if we ever talked about this, I could choose Eli Manning for this. But it hasn't happened yet.
Not yet.
So I'm going to go with Mitch Richmond.
Ooh.
I mean, so listen, like I opened up his stats, and I know there's a lot more to an eye test and all of that stuff.
Yes, but that's okay.
You know, but with him, he had a good 10-year run. Like it was cool. He was efficient hoops. He was, you know, he was buckets, but you know, never really won anything. was never a top 10 MVP. He was all NBA second team a few times. Mm-hmm. He was an all-star a few times, uh-huh. but he never did anything in the playoffs. Granted, you know, his team sucked.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just not a career. And then, you know, I watched some highlights. I wasn't, you know, overly impressed. I just don't think he's a Hall of Famer, man. I don't know. You shit. Know more about Mitch Richmond than I do. So maybe you can.
So listen, Mitch Richmond was a bucket. Mitch Richmond in some of those highlights, I'm sure you watched, it looked like he shuffled around a lot. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So it wasn't like, he was high IQ basketball, but it wasn't show-stopping basketball. It was dependable basketball, but it wasn't flashy basketball. You understand what I'm saying? Him making it to the Hall of Fame was well-deserved, but I have nothing to do. I have no problem with your take at all.
I had to pick somebody, bro. And I like looked at it and I was like, you know.
Yes.
But all right, so we're going to do different or not, but we're going to do one player today.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're going into the football season. Yeah. He's going to have big spotlight on him. Mm-hmm. So different or not. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to say hell yeah right off top. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Without a question.
Yes.
Different.
Absolutely, man. Different. I mean, look, I'll go off on my rant, man. Like Lamar Jackson, he's one.
I got a lot to say.
Not a lot of people see it yet, but I see it very similar to Giannis in basketball.
Okay.
One of the greatest sports stories, you know, that there is.
Yeah.
Because listen, man, he's in college and they said he wouldn't be a good college quarterback. Mm-hmm. Then he had some success and they said he wasn't going to be a quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They said that he should go into the NFL as a fucking running back or wide receiver. He gets picked with the last pick in the first round. So essentially passed up by almost every team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They said he wouldn't succeed in the NFL after he was drafted.
Talk your talk.
Then he succeeds and they said he wouldn't ever be a good passer and that he should still consider being a running back.
Talk your talk.
Then he becomes a good passer and they said he wouldn't ever be an MVP. Then he wins two of them things and then they said he wouldn't win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. They said he'd never be the best damn quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that he is absolutely the best quarterback in the NFL. And now they're of course saying he'll never win a Super Bowl. But listen, he got the extension. He got the accolades. All that's left is a Super Bowl. And I'm going to have so much fun, you know, over the next couple of years, watching him fight like hell to get that. Because that's what he's done with everything in this journey of him playing football is fighting like hell to earn everybody's respect. And, you know, I'm here for it. Lamar Jackson is my number one quarterback going into the NFL season. And I expect the Ravens to be there in the Super Bowl this year. I don't know if they'll win it because, you know, if they face the Eagles, you know what I mean? I don't know if they'll beat the Eagles. But we'll see. Well, you know, it's football. Anything can happen.
I'm
fired up for Lamar Jackson this year, man.
And listen, I don't know what y'all expected. I know that y'all be thinking that me and Tom don't. But see, this is why this goes on. You understand what I'm saying? Because more times we agree than we actually disagree. You understand what I'm saying? I'm actually just going to put some numbers to some of the things that you said, right? With some of the things.
This is why we need Matt here sometimes.
Straight up. Let's just dispel some of the things, right, that a lot of people try to say what you said, right? So he couldn't be a typical quarterback or a you know what I mean? The typical quarterback, right? Let's check this out over Lamar Jackson's career, right? The typical quarterback usually never rushes over 1,000 yards in their career. You know how many times Lamar Jackson has done that? He's done that basically 6 times. He has over 6,000, you know what I mean, rushing yards as a QB. All right.
He's already the best mobile quarterback of all time.
Ever. He has 2,000+ yard rushing seasons himself as a QB. You understand what I'm saying? Like, real talk. Because, you know, the stats are skewed because of the longevity. I said six straight, but I didn't mean six straight. I meant six over his career. Now, but here's the other shit. Just to kind of go along, another thing with what you said. So just for passer rating and everything like that, he's tied for the most in NFL history for perfect passer rating games with 4. And they said that he couldn't become a pocket quarterback. Yeah, come on, man. It's crazy. So now the passing efficiency, which led to that, he got 102 as a career passer rating. But last year, in the best year of his passing, I think it was at like 119 or some shit like that. Like, come on, man. Yeah. This dude is crazy. 2-time MVP. You know what I mean? We know and love this. Is always in the runnings. Like you said, a Giannis of the NFL. Crazy sports story. Just American born. You understand what I'm saying? And the belief that his coach and that organization has in him is amazing, man. Like, it is crazy to see, you know what I mean, his ascension. You know, every year, man, for the past couple of years, I got these guys, you know what I mean? Like, but it's dope to see some more added to his package and the team's package. And I also got something for what we're going to talk about a little bit later, man, but it's kind of crazy. This is something that I do disagree with, though. You said that you think that Derrick Henry is going to have some slippage. I believe that Derrick Henry may be in a running for an NFL record, right, this year, because he may be using just most short yardage situations. You understand what I'm saying? Where he can amass 20 there. You understand what I'm saying? So I think that there may be a yardage slip off, but there may be a touchdown uptick. You understand what I'm saying? Like, real talk. But anyway, I agree with you 100%. You got me going.
Hell, I'm ready. Brother. I'm here for it, man. Lamar Jackson. Like, I thought he should have won the MVP over Josh Allen.
Yeah, Lamar Love.
I mean, I get why Josh Allen won.
Yeah.
You know, we personally wanted that Saquon win, but you know, man, like, Lamar is it's beautiful football to watch too. It's not like, man. You know, and it's like he's like this whole time, like this whole story, like, I refuse to believe that it's not going to generate a Super Bowl. And when Lamar Jackson does win that Super Bowl, we're going to be having some conversations, because I honestly, if you really want me to be as honest as I can, I think a Super Bowl does put him over like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, like those guys that have the one Super Bowl.
Because he's going to still
guys
play.
With zero Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's gonna get over them. Mm-hmm. And I know everyone's in love with Patrick Mahomes when they talk about, you know, this, you know, who's the best, you know, the GOAT and all that. But I think Lamar Jackson, let's say he has a really good second half to his career. You know, because what's happening now, and which I love his development, is that he's becoming a better passer as time is going along. And it's going to allow him to use his legs less, which is going to, you know, expand his career a lot more. Because a lot of people, a lot of your basic, you know, fans don't really understand the passing year that he had last year. Yes. You know, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, all them yards.
Yes, man.
We're talking about a fumble of a pass from Mark Andrews away from, you know, two terrible mistakes by Mark Andrews away from the Ravens having advanced last year. So I think, you know, we're going to get through the season this year, And I think the Ravens are going to be hungry. I think they're going to be the hungriest team in the AFC. And I don't want to discredit the Bills because I know the Bills are hungry too, but I just don't think the Bills have the team that the Ravens have. And I expect them, like, once playoffs start, they're going to be prepared. I think, honestly, you know, their only difficulty, I think, this year is they might lose some games against some really terrible teams because I think their focus is going to be playoffs and their focus is going to be strictly that. So we'll see what happens, but I'm here for it. Lamar Jackson, this campaign is going to be insane.
Yeah. Great year.
Hell yeah. So speaking of running backs, what is your best running back run of all time? So what I mean by that is, you know, the best maybe season that a running back had, maybe a couple of seasons that dominated. And maybe will we see another ridiculous year this year? I know you somewhat mentioned Derrick Henry in response to that, but who do you think it is?
So if I had to say, I would go back to 2006 to kind of lead to what I was saying last, you know, last segment about Derrick Henry potentially breaking the record. I would go back to LT's record. You understand what I'm saying?
He dominated, brother.
Yeah, LaDainian Tomlinson, man, and the Chargers, man. That was one of a great season, a great block of time. And then in 2006, you know, getting that 28 touchdowns, that was great. But I had this question a little pegged wrong, right? So I had this question, whereas though I was going for the best run, like, that I saw for a touchdown.
Like actual physical run.
Actual physical run, right? So I'd have to, you know what I mean, back that up and go with what I was going to say for there, right? And that would be the 2010 wild card game with the Seattle Seahawks with
the Saints.
Yes, sir. And Marshawn Lynch gets that 67-yard
exactly
run.
Where you're going
with
it.
Was like nine tackles or some shit like that.
That's,
you know,
one
I mean?
Run that will keep coming up in my social media feed that I'll watch.
Yes, like
time.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that has to be, and it's kind of crazy with the social media thing, you know, and that's from 2010. You know what I mean? That is a clip that is continually still circulating.
Marshawn Lynch deserved that second Super Bowl
that
title,
was
man.
Crazy. That was super duper dope. Yeah. It would have been nice. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, man, I know. Fuck that thinking shit. It is Saquon Barkley for me.
Okay.
And I cannot stress it enough that Saquon's run last season, I think, was the best run of all time for a running back. And listen, I know Adrian Peterson had his run that I respect so much. That would have been the one, you know, that I chose when Adrian Peterson was going absolute, you know, bonkers. We remember that, right? But when it comes to Saquon, man, he had the most yards in a single season of all time. Like, you know, when you combine the playoffs and regular season, to have a quarter, to have a running back be that good in this day and age, all the way through the playoffs, through the Super Bowl. I mean, there was so many debates on if a running back can actually put your team in a position to actually go all the way, because we've seen all these crazy running back seasons. I mean, the LaDainian Tomlinson season that you just brought up did not result, you know, in a Super Bowl championship. Derrick Henry's run on the Titans did not result in a Super Bowl championship. No doubt did, you know, the Titans overachieve. Thanks.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
To Derrick Henry, of course they did. But when it comes to Saquon, man. And, you know, I also want to point out what his leadership did for the Eagles, too. I know I sit here and I defend Jalen Hurts as much as I do, but coming into that season for the Eagles, we had all this drama between Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown. Are they ever going to get along? You know, all the locker room tension, all these young kids that were, you know, coming in. It was all over the place. I think Saquon coming in with the leadership that he had, and as good as he was, you would have had to been a fool to say that Saquon wasn't going to succeed with that offensive line. But not only did he succeed, he knocked it out of the park, man. Like some of those runs that he pulled off, you know, them games that he won for the Eagles, it was all storybook. And like I said, he absolutely, I have not seen one post about it since about if a running back can get you where you need to go. Cause he absolutely crushed every single thing about that argument.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. In today's football and all football, you need a strong O-line, man. You need a strong defensive line. So why wouldn't running be a part of the function? Like I believe in the.
Yeah. Cause I mean, that was the issue with the Giants, you know, bro, is that they didn't have a strong O-line. Yeah, he kept getting hurt. Cause like for the Giants to win one game with two left foot Daniel Jones out there, Saquon Barkley had to have like some spectacular game, or the defense had to have a spectacular game just for them to get one game. So I think the Giants are fools for never assembling that O-line, because who knows what would have happened if they, you know, developed that O-line. Debate time. Kem wanted this, so we'll see what happens here.
Okay.
So the first question, Drew Brees versus Aaron Rodgers, which I think is going to be a question for a very long time. Who is higher up on the NFL all-time list, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers?
I want to hear you go first, bro.
Really?
Yep.
So listen, man. I got to go with Aaron Rodgers. I have to go with Aaron Rodgers. Because listen, I said Drew Brees wasn't different. I think Aaron Rodgers is, I think he makes it. I think he makes it into being different if we were to argue that right now, which we're not. That'll be probably a long argument for another episode. But listen, I got Aaron Rodgers, man. I think Drew Brees had better teams. I'll just point that out. I think Drew Brees had better teams. Did Aaron Rodgers have a good team that should have achieved more here and there? Absolutely. But Drew Brees had that almost every single fucking year. And constantly he shrunk in a lot of big moments. A lot of big games for the Saints came down to the ref screwed us. Or, you know, one big play. Like, I'm pretty sure you guys remember the Minnesota Miracle. And, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers for me. I think, you know, Drew Brees, did he achieve a lot in the NFL? Absolutely. But that's what will happen when you're just about average every single year and you have some, you know, big years, you know, hidden in that averageness. But I think Aaron Rodgers was elite the whole way. I think when you watch Aaron Rodgers versus when you watch Drew Brees, I think it's a clear difference. You know, with Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's a bad man. You always have a chance all the way up until the final second of the game. And honestly, I like that Aaron Rodgers has a little bit more personality. I know that doesn't really have much to do with the argument. But if it gets down to that for a tiebreaker, I love that. I love that Aaron Rodgers is so fucking crazy, man. But who do you got?
All right, man. This one right here is really no debate, man. Aaron Rodgers is the more talented quarterback. His four MVP speaks.
Yeah, of, and that was, you know what I mean?
More talented quarterback. His four MVP speaks of his dominance. I think that the yardage totals is what had Brees edging most quarterbacks, but just in yardage totals until Tom knocked that off. But at his peak,
thankfully,
you know what I mean. At his peak, Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback. The other thing that I would put into this argument to buffer that Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback is that he has the best TD to interception ratio of all quarterbacks with over 5,000 attempts. So at the end of the day, the yardage thing doesn't really, you know what I mean? It's almost like the argument
that just
happens
when you're just healthy. And
yeah, you're playing longer. You know what I mean? Like that's all that is. You know what I mean? That's why the yardage thing was his for so long as well. But it also leads to why, you know what I mean, that one Super Bowl appearance, you know what I mean, doesn't amount to enough for Drew Brees. You know what I mean? He got the MVP in the Super Bowl as well. You know what I mean? But Aaron Rodgers has, you know what I mean? He's the Super Bowl MVP along with four season MVPs.
MVPs, yeah. You know what I mean? I don't, honestly, like people can say what they want. I really don't think it's a debate. I mean, the only thing that I think you could really say about Brees is maybe his Super Bowl win was more spectacular, you know, because of, you know, Katrina and all that. But I truly do feel that the Saints had better teams over the years. I think he should have won more. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will argue that, you know, Aaron Rodgers should have won more, but, you know, there was a period in time there where it was like, you know, that team was, you know, it was rough.
Uh-huh.
Even when they had Davante Adams, it was like, you know, there was certain parts of that team that were always, you know, fudged up.
Yeah. This is the best Denver, Green Bay team ever that they got right now. That shit is crazy. They had the one with Reggie White and Brett Favre and everything that was really good. But this could be the with the window and the age of this roster, they have a window to be, you know what I mean? Like, we ain't talking about like Lambeau, you know what I mean? But I'm talking about in present time, you know what I mean? In current time,
you consider how weak the NFC, well, I don't want to say weak.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the NFC doesn't have as many top tier teams as the AFC does.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just like last year, like the Lions could choke.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, they could fall apart like they did 2 years mm-hmm. ago. I'm not ever going to rule that out with the personalities that are in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
We know Nick Sirianni is basically a jackass. so I'm not ruling that out. We know mm-hmm. AJ Brown has his shit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would never surprise me if the Eagles, you know, fall apart. But the Packers, they could be in the right place at the right time, you know, towards the end of the year. Like, you know, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders got as far mm-hmm. as they did because it was basically right place, mm-hmm. right time. They faced the right opponents that crumbled to their schemes.
That's how it is.
Et cetera.
Yes.
And that's mm-hmm. really how it is in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, so next one.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a really good one. Who's currently higher on the all-time basketball list for you, Carmelo Anthony or Jason Tatum?
So this is a loaded question, right? So
I don't want to hear no projections, like, because I think we all know Jason Tatum can eventually,
right,
you know, undoubtedly be ahead of Melo. But mm-hmm. well, what do you got?
Damn, man. So if we go with right now, I'm going with Melo, bro. You understand?
Okay.
Right now, I'm going with Melo.
All right.
19 seasons, 203 to 2022. You understand what I'm saying? He's 2017 to present. All right. 10-time All-Star. He hasn't even had 10 years to be a 10-time All-Star. You understand what I'm saying? So even though he does have a chip in there. Okay.
Yeah. And like a lot of people argued with, and that's why I wanted to bring this to the podcast, because mm-hmm. a lot of people were arguing with me on Twitter. Because I said, listen, Carmelo Anthony has a fully established
resume.
Like, it's like his career's already done. Like, it already happened. He is one of the best bucket getters of all time. One of the best Olympians of all time.
Yes.
He has a college championship.
Yes.
He has a scoring title in the NBA.
Yes.
If it wasn't for LeBron's dominance, I mean, he would have a lot more fucking achievements.
Yes.
There, because like when you consider like Miami Heat LeBron, you have to also consider like just how unstoppable he was during that time.
Yes.
Like, we're talking about people were getting snubbed of the first team. People weren't winning championships. People weren't coming out of the East but LeBron. Like, he stopped a lot of shit during that time.
Yes.
And you can say what you want. Steph Curry, you know, has had, I think, a little bit more success than LeBron,
mm-hmm.
you know, in, you know, their times of, you know, them clashing and shit. But when it comes to that, you know, all of that considered, Jason Tatum, like, if his career was to end right now, like, if he doesn't come back from this, God forbid he doesn't, you know, come back correctly from this ankle,
mm-hmm.
From this Achilles injury,
mm-hmm.
I don't think he's higher on the all-time list. Does he have an MVP or does he have a ring? Yes, but he didn't even win an MVP, you know, in those tries. And I get it. Melo never made a final, so that is what it is. But Carmelo Anthony also never played for a franchise that actually built a phenomenal, what almost was a dynasty in the Boston Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he played for the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
They were never considered, mm-hmm. you know, a team that was better than the Spurs, than the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could have went on a run, maybe. And then it was the same thing with the Knicks. Not a better team than the Heat, not a better team than some of those other teams that were coming up around that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what it all boils down to me is, who had a better prime? I think Melo was way more feared than Jason Tatum was feared. I think Tatum has these games where it's like you just sit there and you're like, you know, what the fuck, dude? Where it was like, you know, with Melo, he was pretty much consistently good at fucking shooting and getting his shots. Even on his off nights,
mm-hmm.
he was always a presence. I think, you know, Tatum might be a better rebounder, might be a better defender. But I gotta take Carmelo Anthony still. Do I think Jason Tatum will be higher on the list? Yeah, of course. I mean, look what he's achieved, you know, so far in his career. I mean, the trajectory shows that he's going to be one of the game's best players ever.
Yes.
But right
he's
now,
he's piling up NBA first teams already, bro.
Exactly.
He does have a finals MVP already from winning their championship. You understand what I'm
not
saying?
Not a finals MVP.
Yes, but, he did win. Oh, no, sorry. He didn't win the finals MVP. Jalen Brown won that. Sorry. They gave that to Jalen Brown. Sorry about that.
I was about to say no,
yeah,
Kevin.
Sorry,
no.
Brother. Yeah, Jalen Brown won that. Sorry. But
I can't, like, fully established career, man. He's one of the best bucket getters of all time, and I hate the Carmelo Anthony disrespect that he's starting to get. I mean, I disrespected Melo when he was playing because I thought, you know, I thought what I thought, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I think that with given the same sum of parts, Melo, you know what I mean, would have been even higher. But the greatest thing about it is that, again, three Olympic gold medals. He's top 10. He's ninth in NBA all-time scoring. You understand what I'm saying? Like, out of the league, the top
thousands
10.
Thousands of players.
Top 10 of the league, right? But what Jason Tatum is doing, man, that five straight conference finals appearances and shit like that, with two finals appearances.
This will be a hot take.
We went Melo, but the point is that at the end of his career, Jason Tatum will be higher.
Of course.
Yes.
As long as he comes back from this Achilles injury. And I think, like, with modern day medicine and stuff,
without a question, you can go get stem cells. Man, you can go get stem cells down in Mexico, bro. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, real talk. Shit. You better come back, right?
This might be a hot take because you bring up the conference championship appearances and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more so alluding to the great front office of the Boston Celtics than it is Jason Tatum. And I get
he played
Jason
in him.
Has been good.
Yes, he played
Jason
in
Tatum
him.
Has been, you know, 28, you know, points per game scored, you know, shit like that. I just think if Jason Tatum was on a bad team but still had this talent, I don't think we'd be talking about Tatum the same way we do today. I think a lot of it has to do with the Boston Celtics.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't. That's something we would have to argue draft night. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, because at the end of the day, he walked into Brad Stevens, who already was 10 years ahead when he got there. You understand what I'm saying? He had a 10-year plan. You know what I mean? So at the end of, like, it's clear that Brad Stevens had a 10-year plan when Boston hired him. You know what I'm saying? So by drafting the players that he did, you know what I'm saying, it was a plan. So at the end of the day, he did get a chance to develop. He came from Mike Krzyzewski. You know what I mean? To go to Brad Stevens in Boston. Come on, man. He was going to – of course, it probably wouldn't have looked the same way at another. He would have a Melo-type career. Like, we don't even know if he would have developed into Melo. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, in all truth, you understand what I'm saying? Like, not had he – because Melo actually won a chip in Syracuse, you know what I mean, and still developed to become one of the purest scorers in NBA history. Jason Tatum was a developmental guy who, you know what I mean, was great, you know what I mean, in high school. Had a year with Duke, you know what I mean? Did his thing, but he wasn't fully developed yet. I mean, I said,
Yeah, and I mean, like, when it comes to Jason Tatum, too, like, I get it. You know, he is a top scorer in our league. He's a top player, you know, in this league, top 10 player. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, man, like, that team that the Celtics won the championship with, you know, with Jalen Brown, with Jrue Holiday, with Kristaps Porzingis, with Derek Williams, with the bench that they have.
Jalen Brown cooked
with the, you know, with the coaching staff that they have, you know, established out there. You know, there was some games even during that run, which is why he did not win the finals MVP, where you're just watching Jason Tatum and you're like, like, what the hell, dude? Like, and that's what I mean. That's my thing is I watch Jason Tatum a lot, and sometimes he looks like the best player in the league, and then sometimes it's just like, you know, what the hell is going on? But they were just fortunate enough to have so much talent at that time, and they stayed healthy, that, you know, good things happened for Boston that year. But, you know, as you saw this year, I mean, before he tore his Achilles, he basically fucking – you know, he was shooting, you know, the Celtics all the way out of their games. Them big leads that they had faded away because he would just start chucking. You know what I mean? Like, but that, like you said, it's a big conversation for a different day. So our last debate point, which I feel this is the one we're going to disagree on.
Yeah, you say something crazy.
Finally, we need...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
We need one that we disagree on.
You say something crazy.
Shaq and Kobe or Steph and KD?
This is a no-brainer. Shaq and Kobe.
This is where we disagree.
Well, listen. Well, let's go ahead. So, how do we disagree, Shaq and Kobe? Let's start right here.
Three championships together.
KD and Steph, two championships together. And oh my, listen, come on, what? What's up? Come on, what's up? What's up? Yeah, what's up? They went to four straight finals. KD and Emma only went to three straight finals. They three-peated and went to four straight finals. You understand? Could have went four. All right. Shaq got finals MVP three straight times. Kobe evolved into the superstar that we love off of that. Come on, bro. What are you talking about? Shaq and Kobe lasted longer. I understand that Steph and KD was nuclear, but that shit was fast, man. Just like everything nuclear is, boom, and then it's over. You understand what I'm saying? Like, look good. You know what I mean? Look, boom, and then it's over. You know what I mean? It's the same thing on the 4th of July when we go buy fireworks and shit like that. It's amazing for a minute, but it's over. That's not what we got with the Los Angeles Lakers, or just say Shaq and KD, bro. Like, we're not going to do that. I'm not even going to let you do that, bro. I'll run down KD and Steph stats for you. But at the end of the day, the three-peat and the four-time finals is clear dominance that we did not even see at all with Steph and KD. But you can shoot your shot.
That was good, man. Listen, and I respect it. Look, I think if I was to sit here and make a ranking of who I think the best duo is of all time, I think I would have Shaq and Kobe first, because we're combining achievements and we're combining all that shit together. Mm-hmm. For this, who I strictly think was the better duo for their time, I have to go with Steph and KD. Now, listen, when it came to Kobe and Shaq, they were fucking amazing. They were both, you know what, averaging like 25 to 30 points together at the same time, playing winning basketball. They were dominant. But when it came to Steph and KD, bro, the league paused for those 2 years. Basically 3 years, but obviously they had, you know, injuries in the third year that kind of like, you know, shut everything down. But for those 2 years, bro, you know damn well the league was on pause. No one else had a chance. No one else even, we weren't even talking about no other teams. We were talking about, you know, maybe LeBron can put together a magical run and stop these guys. But the league was shut down on pause. There was no questions asked about it. When it came to Kobe and Shaq, yeah, were they favorites most of the time? Yeah. But you still had, you know, the chances of these other teams, the chances of this other shit happening. No. But when it came to Steph and KD, bro, no, there was a 0% shot for anybody else. The greatest shooter of all time, and then KD, one of the most talented players of all time, maybe the best scorer of all fucking time. Come on, bro.
See, this is,
it's easily Steph. Well, I don't want to say easily, because we're talking about some of the best duos of all time.
This is why you're tripping, because you're even referencing like LeBron and the people that they went up against, that, you know what I mean, is in an era that you didn't get to witness these guys. So I don't know if you witnessed this because if you witnessed it, you know that the dominance and the power that Shaq possessed with the mentality and skill that Kobe possessed was just a different power dynamic, besides what KD and Steph have. You got two lethal shooters with one shooter that can get a bucket anywhere on the floor. That's skill that just outmatching everybody. I'm talking about power and dominance with skill and mentality that's going to, like, come on, man. Those people feared them way more than they feared. The league had changed into a jump shot league. So, of course, teams were catching up because they didn't have shooters. You understand what I'm saying? There was no need for a big man during the KD Steph era. You know what I mean? Because of how they spread the floor. You understand what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, the league caught up to it. That's what we're watching and seeing right now. As we're going to give an ode, you know what I mean, to a team earlier who later on who revolutionized this shit. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, bro, it's Shaq and Kobe. I don't care what nobody is trying to say. It's Shaq and Kobe.
And that's fair. And they had one of the, you know, greatest playoff runs of all time. But yeah. I'm just saying, man, there was no point in time in NBA history where that was just that. When KD joined the Warriors, that was it, bro. No one else had a chance. As long as that was going together, unless injury happened, which eventually it did happen, there was no chance for anybody else.
We'll see.
That's never happened before, bro.
We'll see.
Never.
We will see.
But like I said, you know, when it comes to Steph and Kobe, or when it comes to Kobe and Shaq, man, I mean, it was beautiful.
You're crazy, man.
Every time I go back and watch it,
they defined the whole era, bro. Like, what are you talking about? It's crazy.
Of course.
Son. It's crazy. Son.
But what I'm saying with Steph and KD is they honestly shut down LeBron's GOAT case. Like, LeBron, if Steph and KD don't get together, Bron might be the definitive GOAT because he might have won more rings during that time.
You're crazy.
But they all, and then when you said
you're crazy,
scared of them,
you're crazy.
You said No.
LeBron went back. You talking about when LeBron went back to Cleveland and started becoming GM and all that type of shit too? Is what you're talking about? In that era of LeBron,
he made the finals both years that so fucking what? Steph and KD made the finals.
So what? That was a different type of East, and LeBron wasn't that kind of player because, listen, besides that chase down block, right? Listen, besides the chase down block, you know what I mean? That is one of the most bullish, and I'm talking about superstaric, bullish, athletic, I'm going to take us there plays that you have ever seen from LeBron. You don't have many of those in the LeBron catalog of I'm going to go take us there. You understand what I'm saying? But in what I'm talking about, you understand what I'm saying with Kobe and Shaq, that was the mentality. You understand what I'm saying? It ain't no way around it, man. It ain't no way. Listen, and y'all going to get me on this thing.
Kevin Durant burying LeBron James with a three in his face to secure, I think it was game two. Oh, when they were in that shit in the finals?
Right. And KD is way more of a killer to me than what LeBron is. Like I said, I don't like that strategic shit that, you know what I mean? Like that, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm a thinker, but I'm talking about when you're bigger, faster, stronger, you don't have to use finesse until you need to use finesse. You understand what I'm saying? Like literally, right. It's like boxing. You know what I mean? Like you don't stop doing something, you know what I mean? When it works, you know, anyway. But I digress. You know what I mean? Hey, man. LeBron being the definitive GOAT. Man, get the fuck. How is he a definitive GOAT when he ain't even past Kobe? Like, that's the part that we got to get into one of these days. Like, how the fuck? I don't even know why we even, like, all right, okay. It's okay. Huh? What? No.
All right, okay, cool, all right. Cool. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait till Matt's back. These are going to be some fucking great conversations. But... Okay, so let's get into some baseball talk real quick.
Sure.
You got any questions to shoot?
I do, man, because you brought up Kyle Schwarber. It's kind of crazy, right? But you brought him up in a context in which was a little different because you highlighted the injuries a little bit too, right? But I want to ask you a cool question, right? Do you think that the Phillies, the Dodgers, and it's crazy, you shit on the Braves too. Do you think they got good vibes as ball clubs? Like, this is just, okay. You know what I mean? Like, do you
have... No, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
So, like, I mean, like, with the Braves, for me, it's hard to say that they got good vibes as a ball club because this is the second dynasty they were supposed to have, right? Kem, you were I think you were a young adult during the time where they were having their first dynasty, where they had
Smoltz,
you know,
and
John Smoltz,
yes,
and Glavin, yes, and mm-hmm, you know, all those, mm-hmm, you know, Maddox, all, mm-hmm, those guys together. Mm-hmm. They were constantly getting, mm-hmm, you know, free agents. They constantly had a team. Mm-hmm. But how many World Series did they win in that run? One, right? Yeah. And I get it. The Yankees kind of, you know, blocked them off a little bit. But then when we look at this was supposed to be their second dynasty because they have Acuna and, mm-hmm, Matt Olson and, you know, Ozzie Albies and Austin Riley and all these guys. They have the pitching. Mm-hmm. They have all that. Mm-hmm. They're also like, it's about to be over. They might be trading off everyone at the end of the year. And guess what? This dynasty that they were supposed to have, because, mm-hmm, they figured everything out and they paid all their players cheaply and for a long period of time, they only have one. Mm-hmm. And the one that they won is maybe one of the most unmemorable World Series in history, because it was led by fucking Jorge Soler and Jock Peterson and Eddie Rosario. Like, it was weird. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That shit, you know, it was cool, I guess. But when it comes to the Dodgers, I think they have a good vibe. They've been fucking winning since I started watching, mm-hmm, you know, really like talking and researching baseball. Mm-hmm. Back when Manny Ramirez was, you know, on the club, they have a winning culture. Players know when they go there that they're going to win. You don't really hear too much animosity coming out, mm-hmm, from them. They have so much different heads in that clubhouse. You would think, mm-hmm, that some heads would butt at some point in time, or, you know, whatever have you, but it's a good vibe. Their fans love them. It's a winning atmosphere. And then the Phillies, you know, it's hard because, you know, when it comes to Bryce Harper as a leader, you know, for the Washington Nationals, it feels like they couldn't ever really take that next step. And Bryce Harper was often underwhelming in, you know, certain situations, or when he was on fire, the team wasn't on fire. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's happening in Philadelphia right now. So I don't know, man. I think they have a good atmosphere. Like, they love each other. They love playing for each other. The fan atmosphere is insane in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So I would say, yeah, they got some good vibes in their clubhouse. Yeah.
Okay. Since the last time we talked, I asked you an analytical question. I want to ask another one that I've noticed to be a part of baseball now, but I want to know, is it, you know, making the game smarter or ruining the purity, right? These are two analytical things that have been introduced into the game that they kind of, you know, always look at now. And with all these home runs and things, we were talking about it earlier, and about pitchers and things of that nature, what do you think about the emphasis to launch angle and like that WAR shit?
The war and all that shit. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just people bored, man. I think it's people bored and they just, you know, kind of want to keep developing baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are good. Like, war is, it's a cool stat. It, mm-hmm, kind of combines everything. Mm-hmm. But then I think it has a little bit too much emphasis on defense, because you'll see like guys with low wars that are incredibly impactful, mm-hmm, you know, especially with the bat. Mm-hmm. I think like launch angle and shot, I mean, obviously it's one of the new things that teams focus on. So I can't, as silly as I think it is, it's what some teams put a lot of emphasis in, is making sure you hit the ball with the correct launch angle and all that shit. It's just where baseball is going, man.
You said it's boring. Honestly, huh? That's why they're doing this.
I mean, I don't want to say boring. I just think people are just like bored, because baseball has been going along for like as long as it has with the basic stats, mm-hmm, and, you know, the basic systems that were in place. So, you know, I think MLB is going through that phase where they have to change it up. Like, they changed the playoffs, they changed, you know, the pitchers rules. They, yeah, you know, they did all this shit. I mean, the commissioner is like, some years he's making the ball not travel out of the fucking park. Some years he's making the ball very easy to travel out the park.
Yeah.
Honestly, and this is a fucking underrated take, I love the baseball's current commissioner, bro. I'll say it. A lot of people hate this guy. And I get it. He's a little wishy-washy on certain things, but like, he's bringing a lot of attraction to baseball. The rules that he's putting in play, while people hate them at first, I think it's done a lot of good for fucking baseball. People can actually sit through a baseball game now, yeah, bro.
It doesn't take
and
long.
And the shit's easy to explain. It's, yeah, easier to explain now.
Yeah, it doesn't take long.
And you know what I mean? So I think at the end of the day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, bet. Okay. those are my questions that I have for you, man.
Hell yeah. So, you know, what I wanted to do real quick is, as we stand, we got a month left to play before we get into the playoffs. So I just wanted to break down who I currently think the teams have the best shot at winning the World Series. Kem is going to hate this because I didn't include the Yankees in that top five, man. I don't think the Yankees are going to win it this year. I think a lot of this right now is too dependent on Aaron Judge the closer that we get. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton has come back and is absolutely nuclear. I think we expect that at this point for him to be nuclear in the playoffs. But I don't think their pitching is situated right. Their relievers are – it's all over the place. They made all these acquisitions. Half of them ain't working. Half of them, it's up and down. Yeah. Devin Williams, don't know who he is anymore. And then, you know, with the hitters, it'll be interesting. I mean, Anthony Volpe getting a lot of negative attention right now for how bad that he's been. But mm-hmm. I think it sucks because Aaron Judge is fucking injured, trying his best to just stay on the field. But like, if he comes into this playoffs and has another bad fucking playoff injury or not, it's a more tough conversations that we have to have.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, man, you know, if all goes well, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Jazz and Trent are trying their damnedest too, man.
But will it continue into the playoffs? I don't know, man.
Okay. I don't have any problems with what you said about the rotation though. The pitching rotation.
Yeah. Like it's a lot of scariness.
It is.
But I think so. Team number one, I got the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, obviously, their pitchers are coming back healthy. Blake Snell looks great. Clayton Kershaw, the old man, is still fucking doing it. Yeah,
it's crazy.
like he looks absolutely insane still. You know, obviously Yamamoto. They have a ton in their bullpen, their lineup. I mean, Mookie Betts has struggled. Shohei Ohtani has had some cold stretches, and they still look great. So I still think that they're the favorites. But number two, which might be a surprise to a lot of people, I got the New York Mets. Now, hear me out. They're getting hot again, and I think they're getting hot at the right fucking time. They've been on a scorcher lately. Francisco Lindor seems like he's back. All it takes, I think, for this team to click is going to be what Juan Soto does. Is he going to struggle going into the playoffs, or is he going to be the playoff performer that we've seen in the past? And if Juan Soto, which he's one of the best hitters in the league, I think he can easily flip that switch on. That's what I'm counting on. And I think their bullpen's amazing and their starters, there's a little to be desired, but you know, we'll see how that goes. Number three is the Boston Red Sox. Again, sorry, Kem. I'm kind of really digging what they got going on, man. Like they're hot at the right time. They're one of the best teams in baseball at the right time. Their starting rotation is insanely fucking good. Their bullpen capped off by Aroldis Chapman and has been this year. He's probably been the best closer in baseball. Chapman, along with Crochet, who's probably the best starter in baseball, and Roman Anthony's growing into a man before our very eyes. Bregman is still there. Trevor Story's having resurgence. I love everything that's going on in Boston right now. And then number four, I got the San Diego Padres, man. I mean, I roast them all the time. You know, you feel me? But I do think Tatis and Machado, with everything that surrounds them, is good to have going into the postseason. Their bullpen is solid. Their starters, that's another team where their starters are like, you know, they're performing really well right now. They have one of the best ERAs in the league. But, you know, we'll see how that goes. And then number five, I got the Houston Astros. Never count the Astros out. Yordan Alvarez just came back, and he is looking fucking good. Jeremy Peña looks good. Their starters look good. Their bullpen looks good. So we'll see how it goes. But that's the five I have right now. In the future, I'm going to put a new statistic that will come out like the day before the postseason starts. We'll see how good it is and how much it can predict the playoffs. But I have a little stat that I want to put together. Stay tuned for that. So Ken, why don't you take us away with the different or not NBA teams? Cause you made this segment. I want you to lead this one.
Yes. So different NBA teams, right? We got three of them today, right?
Different or not.
The 2001 Philadelphia 76ers. Are they different or not?
All right, so this is the 2001 76ers that lost to the Lakers, correct?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. In five. Whew. In five, with the famous jumper stepping over coach now, Tyronn Lue.
Man, this is tough. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, because you had the MVP on the team.
There it is.
You had the defensive player of the year on the team. You even had the sixth man of the year on the team.
Yes, you did, Mr. Aaron McKee.
I think a lot of people discredit, like, this is the thing that happens too, is that, like, over time, people only remember the superstars. They only remember the guys that, you know, obviously get talked about, mm-hmm. you know, moving forward as we go along. Mm-hmm. I think this team is absolutely underrated. A lot of people say it was AI and that was it. And I get it, because when you look at 31 points a game and the next person at, you know, 12 mm-hmm. points, you know, per game, mm-hmm. you would say something like that. But this team had great defense, mm-hmm. good role players. Yes. Obviously, you know, they had the sixth man of the year. Mm-hmm. They had the defensive player of the year. I'm going to go ahead, man, because it's tough, because they didn't win the championship. Mm-hmm. But they did take a game. They were the only loss for the Lakers that year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say they're different. I want to hear what you have to say, but I'm going to go ahead and I think the 2001 Philadelphia 76ers are different.
Here you go. This is why they're different, brother. The verdict is they are different from me as well.
Okay.
They ain't win the chip. But one true superstar, a true superstar, sixth man of the year is a sixth man of the year. Defensive player is a defensive player, right? Mutombo, that's one of his knocks, even though he could have been in the Hall of Famer that I had a problem with, right? Because he was totally defensive and had offensive deficiencies throughout. So at the end of the day, man, he embodied toughness in the culture that is the NBA right now. Like, Iverson dragged those boys there, man. Like, real talk. So at the end of the day, that is different. Yes, sir.
Okay.
We agree 100%.
All right.
The next one I got for us, man. I kind of alluded to it earlier. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I said they helped revolutionize some things, man. But we're going to go with the 2007 Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
Are they different? They had a 61-21 record that year, second in the West. Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, Sean Marion, Mike D'Antoni, 7 seconds or less.
Seven seconds?
Yep, that was the offense, 7 seconds or less.
Oh, I thought you were giving me 7 seconds.
No, the offense.
Mm-hmm. This is tough, man, because I loved watching that team.
They lost in the Western semis. They ain't win a chip either.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to – damn.
Just a hint. Just a hint. None of the three teams have won championships.
Fair enough. This is rough, because I don't know, and I don't know how you feel about it, but, like, as much as you love watching them on TV, I just don't think this team was different, brother.
Okay.
I just don't. I mean, yeah, like, that starting five was insanely good. And not only was it insanely good, it was insanely efficient. Like, four of those five guys had a field goal percentage over 47.
Do you know why, though? That is, because,
like I said, yeah, the offense.
It's the prototype for the modern NBA offense, like, right now.
Man, well, what do you think? What do you think about the whole thing?
So, man, I think they were unlucky. I think they changed the league forever. The suspensions messed them up. You know what I mean? On that finals run with that Ori hip check that they gave them. You know what I mean? But I think that in all truth, I cannot say that they're different.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you would have talked about the team that was the year before this, which I believe was Amari Stoudemire in his rookie year, I might have said, yeah, that they were different. Or even, like, man...
2006 yeah, no, and 7, even. That's 61.
The Spurs were just a pain in their ass, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, they could not get mm-hmm. by the Spurs.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's hard.
It was
that dynasty is also what makes the Spurs different in that time. You know what I mean? So it's hard for them to be different. You know?
So do you think they're different or not?
Mm-mm. I'm going no.
No?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
I think I'm just going to agree with you, because I don't want to sit here and argue about the 2007 Suns. I don't know, man. Because, like, Steve Nash, I mean, I know this wasn't a year that he stole MVP, but, like, you know, I feel like he has stolen MVPs. I thought they were a little overrated. But a fun team to watch. Like, I love Amari Stoudemire. I love watching Steve Nash hoop. Sean Marion with his ugly-ass shot. but, yeah, that weird shit. but, yeah, I mean, I'll just agree with you for the sake of I don't want to sit here and argue.
Okay, no problem. If you don't want to argue, I'm going to take you a little bit more in history. See, I gave you two early ones, man. This one goes back a little bit older, right? But I know you know about this because this is some of the things that I bring up when I talk, right?
Yeah.
So in 1993, 1994, you saw me wear this hat before, too. The Seattle Supersonics was 63-19.
Gary Payton. One of the biggest chokes in history.
Sean Kemp, Detlef Schrempf, Dennis, those guys in that deep roster, right? Upset in the first round by the Nuggets.
Oh, man. Like, if you would have said the year before, I feel like, you know, the year that they had before where they did make a little bit of a further run, I would have said, yeah. Because, like, this time period was, like, the best that Seattle had ever had. Like, in their history of being a franchise, this was the best Seattle Supersonics, like, block of time. But this specific team that you're saying that choked, I can't say they're different just because they choked. Like, did they had a, like, when I go back and watch the highlights, you know, from these teams over these years, definitely fun to watch. You know, Sean Kemp was a dog. Gary Payton was a fucking dog. You know, the underrated Michael Cage, who played every, you know, fucking game. He was a fucking meme. But, you know, Ricky Pierce, really good six man. I can't say they're different. Like, if you would have said the last, I think it would have been more of an argument if you did the 1993 Supersonics, but I'm going to say the 1994 Supersonics are not different.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not different at all. 63 wins or otherwise. I thought you was going to fall in love with the numbers and thought the 63 and 19 was going to take.
You got to consider the playoffs. Yeah,
they got the NBA's first ever 8-1 loss. That's the first one documented in NBA history is that one. You know what I mean? Winning over a one, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, hell no, they're not different for that season. That's great that you did.
And I think it's safe to say when it comes to these different or not NBA teams that all champions should be different.
Sometimes.
Oh, which
No, because the Sixers weren't a champion and they were different.
No. But what I'm saying is that automatically
most
teams that have won the championship
will most likely be different. Yes, absolutely.
They're all champions. Yes. We can establish that right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
The NFL season is here. Gun to your head, whatever to your head. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl? Let's take it out that way.
Gun to my head, who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
The Baltimore Ravens. And the Green Bay Packers.
Damn, Pat. So Micah Parsons is going to get the Packers all the way to the bowl?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think. Damn, do I be a homer here? You know what? I said it earlier. I got to be consistent. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. And I think they end up facing the Detroit Lions. Listen, the Eagles. That's my team. Yeah. I love them. I think, you know, they're the best team until they're not.
This is a prediction.
I just think the Lions have been through a lot. If they get there healthy, I think they're absolutely they're gonna want it. They're gonna want it bad, especially with how last year's run ended. So, so
13 players hurt.
Yeah, and it did not end the way they wanted to. But I think they're gonna be locked in. I think. You know, obviously, if the Lions don't make any noise this year, we're going to be having some conversations. But I got a Jared Goff jersey hanging up, and I can't let go of that one. I think it'll be the Lions and the Ravens, and that would be a fun Super Bowl to watch. But with that being said, I already said it earlier. Make sure you guys subscribe, like, leave some feedback. Follow us on all of our socials. We got a lot of different content going on all over the place. Yeah. Just buckle in. You're not going to find the better laughs. You're not going to find the better aura. And you're most importantly, not going to find the most hottest takes, as you will hear. We have a lot coming up. Stay tuned. Get on the train or get, you know, run over or get the there train run on you.
There
pause.
We out. Have a good night. Join the conversation, y'all. We out.
Yes.